Welcome to Consensus, a podcast from Sensus Technologies.
Hello and welcome to the Consensus podcast. Today we're talking about how AI is transforming surgical efficiency and patient safety. I'm your host, Amy Shadroff, and our guest today is Harshal Garadia. He is the Chief Technology Officer and VP of IT at Sensus Technologies. And Harshal, we are so excited to have you on the podcast today, and welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here.
Before we dive into things, could you give us a brief introduction and talk a little about your role and background in healthcare and AI as well?
Sure. So I joined Sensus as the Chief Technology Officer about 1.5 years back. And I lead the R&D, AI, innovation, and our IT organizations here at Sensus. I'm really passionate about how we can leverage technology and innovation to improve people's lives. That was primarily the reason I joined Sensus, as it aspires to be that perioperative operational partner of choice that defines and leads the reprocessing workflow standards. That's really our vision. And that too was a big motivator for me, as it directly drives positive patient outcomes with its products. Prior to joining Sensus, I was part of the larger Fortive organization, the parent company, primarily part of the AI Center of Excellence, creating new AI-powered products, customer experience solutions, and driving operational productivity. before joining Fortive, I led large digital transformation projects across manufacturing, supply chain, and retail, working with a large electronics distributor, as well as a couple of consulting companies. So super excited to be here.
Well, you sound like a wonderful addition to the team. Why is AI becoming such a critical lever for hospitals right now?
You know, great question. The entire healthcare system is under intense pressure. Clinical burnout, staffing shortages, rising costs, and increasingly complex patient needs. Hospitals are being asked to do a lot more with much less resources, and traditional solutions are just not scaling fast. I think about this, you know, when you look at like a 2x2 matrix, and you try to put an hospital in different quadrants, right? They are always trying to balance between maximizing case volumes, throughput, versus minimizing the sterile processing department costs. That's like one axis. And then if you look at the other axis, it can be, you know, meeting compliance obligations or maximizing productivity and quality, right? So every hospital will fall into one of these quadrants, and AI has a role to play no matter which hospital belongs to. So a way to unlock new efficiencies across clinical and operational areas. Let me give you a couple of examples. Operating room and sterile processing departments, right? Two of the most resource intensive areas. AI can optimize your scheduling, predict surgical delays, right? So that helps maximize those cases, those throughput I talked about. And also ensure instrumentation is prepared precisely at the right time where it's needed. And that drives productivity and quality. Or you can use it for driving compliance and IFU adherence. So that kind of precision, it reduces waste. It shortens the patient wait times and improves overall outcomes. So AI is a big lever. It's not about replacing people. It's augmenting your existing workforce with insights that lead to better, faster decisions. And frankly, we are just getting started in healthcare. There is a lot which can be achieved through AI in healthcare itself.
How has it evolved, especially in sterile processing and ORs in recent years?
So AI adoption has, in both sterile processing and ORs, has accelerated rapidly in recent years. And that's primarily due to the evolution of the technology itself. So if you think about, you know, a few years back, hospitals were mostly reliant on descriptive analytics, which kind of describes events after the fact. And then came predictive models, right, where you can actually predict things in the future. But now with the rise of generative AI and agentic AI, we are seeing a real transformation. Generative AI brought the ability to contextualize massive amounts of data and deliver tailored insights. However, agentic AI is just changing the game. It just doesn't analyze, it actually acts, it takes actions. So for example, you know, AI agents which autonomously can track instrument usage, flag tray shortages, adjust schedules, optimize the processing workflows. You can actually even leverage voice-enabled bots now to talk to a digital agent which can actually transcribe notes so the doctors can focus on what's most important to them, the patient and the diagnosis. So frankly, this level of operational intelligence just wasn't possible before. We are seeing a lot of big players like Microsoft, Google, Oracle investing heavily in AI, in healthcare. Recently, I just read the news, Cedars-Sinai, a big hospital network in LA has announced a new digital innovation platform where companies can actually come scale their digital and AI solutions, use curated and secure data. And frankly, it also helps create new healthcare companies by itself. So all in all, AI in OR and sterile processing is no longer experimental.
And it's really something that workers need to embrace. I know you gave me some, simple examples, but can you share any examples from any of your current customers, like St. Francis or St. Luke's, or maybe even from Williamson Medical Center, on how AI is being used?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll take an example of St. Luke's Health Network. It's a regional IDN based in Pennsylvania with about 12 campuses, 300 outpatient sites, and more than 17,000 employees. So they were looking for ways to improve communication and increase the visibility into the sterilization process across their network. So we used to work with, the sterile processing director there, Jeffrey Long, who actually mentioned that, he used to rely on Excel spreadsheets to input reports. And that used to, in his words, quote unquote, he used to spend 3 to 4 days a week just getting data so he could do a report once every week, right? So that's a lot of manual work. So they partnered with us and implemented Sensis AI Square productivity module to see if they can quickly get the insights they need in seconds, right? So the productivity platform itself provides visibility into the number of trays sterilized by specific staff members each day. That was a game changer. They were able to process about 5,000 more trays every month with the same staff, which was a 20% increase in their throughput. And using the data provided by Sensis AI Square, they were also able to justify adding 4 more headcount because they were short-staffed. So they were able to provide that data to their C-suite to justify adding additional headcount.
So we're always hearing about AI taking away from headcount, but in this case, it actually added to the headcount.
Absolutely. So it augments your workforce, right? And just helps you do your jobs easier, faster, and in a much more efficient way.
How does AI contribute to your compliance and standardization? Because those are big issues in hospitals as well.
Absolutely. I think AI is a game changer for compliance and standardization, especially in sterile processing and OR. Hospitals do struggle to keep up with evolving AMI standards and the manufacturer IFUs, right? These are the AME standards and IFUs, which then gets published and hospitals have to comply by them. AI can automate this, right? It cross-references IFUs in real time, guiding SPD technicians step by step, and even flagging non-compliant workflows before they become safety risks. Computer vision models, right, or computer vision systems can actually add an additional layer of identifying instruments confirming the tray accuracy, catching any kind of assembly errors, which are critical for joint commission audits. If you look at data standardization, right, can become loosely defined over a period of time due to lack of effective controls. So again, with AI, you can standardize your data across your facility, across your network, which again helps improve efficiencies, reduce costs.
How do you get healthcare teams to sign on to AI and use it as a complement rather than considering it to be a replacement for them?
Yeah, so AI should be seen as something which augments staff, as I just mentioned before, and a force multiplier that helps your frontline teams work smarter, and especially in high pressure areas, right, like the OR and sterile processing. It can, you know, surface real-time alerts about instrument readiness, case conflicts. So allowing nurses to intervene early rather than, you know, firefighting downstream problems. Another example could be, you know, I talked about the voice-enabled products, right? So one of our sister companies, Provation, which is part of Fortive, has also launched a digital voice-enabled assistant for clinical documentation. Right. So what it does is it helps doctors automatically transcribe notes through voice-enabled bots while they are talking and trying to diagnose the patient problems. So things like that, right? It actually augments your work, and it frankly gives more power.
And I know doctors are probably really excited because doctors can spend so much time after they see their patients or perform a surgery to do those notes. And then they have to try to remember exactly what they did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we across, you know, not only Census, but the larger AHS segment, right? So we are always looking at AI to drive more innovation. So one of our other business lines, Pegasus, has an AI-powered product called Orion, which identifies unused instruments. 70% of instruments are never used in a procedure. Can you imagine that? So that's so much of reprocessing costs and efficiencies which can be saved if you are able to cut down on those unused instruments. So they have a product which helps you get to that. And then, as I mentioned, Provation offers a digital voice-enabled assistant for clinical documentation. So we, across Fortive, we are trying to bring a lot of these AI-enabled solutions, which can help primarily our customers focus on what matters most, patient safety.
And I would imagine in the OR, if a doctor asks for a particular instrument and it's not available, and then someone has to go running around to try to get that instrument, that costs time and could impact patient safety.
Absolutely. I mean, once you have your patient there, right, every second counts. So these solutions really help, make sure that you have the right instruments at the right place, at the right time, and what is really required to be used.
What are some common misperceptions that you encounter around AI and sterile processing?
Yeah, so one of the biggest misperceptions I hear is that AI is too advanced or too high-tech for sterile processing, and it's only for clinical decision-making or in the surgical space. But that's a big misperception. In fact, SPD is actually one of the best environments for AI, because it's workflow based, it's repetitive, and it's critically dependent on precision and data. And that's where AI excels. Another misperception is AI is going to replace SPD technicians, as we just talked about, right? In reality, it's the opposite. AI is going to support them, do their jobs better. And for example, the AI assisted instrument recognition or the voice enabled bot clinical documentation we talked about. And the third misperception, or skepticism rather, I would say, is trust. Right? People worry, can I rely on AI to make the right call? But in sterile processing, AI isn't making medical decisions. It's actually flagging potential risks, missing instruments, or IFU deviations. It's like a second set of eyes, not a replacement for human judgment. So I would see AI as a daily partner, you know, helping the technicians with compliance, reducing errors, improving their productivity, improving the workflow. And as there is more adoption, these misperceptions will start to fade.
What are the biggest challenges of trying to scale AI across the perioperative environments?
So one of the biggest challenges in scaling AI is really bridging that gap between innovation and operational reality. And what I mean by that is, you know, many hospitals are excited about AI, but implementing it in complex high-stakes environment like the OR or sterile processing comes with real hurdles, right? It's what I call as the last mile deployment. First is data quality and interoperability. AI needs clean, structured, and connected data to perform well. Many hospitals struggle with that. So that's one of the big foundational requirements for AI, getting good quality data. The second is change management, right? AI tools will introduce new workflows. They will generate new insights, but it would require buy-ins from clinical, surgical, sterile processing teams. And if the staff doesn't trust the output of AI, it will just add more complexity and the adoption will stall. So I think that training, communication, and showing early wins are critical here. I think the third area which I would say in order to scale this will just be integrating AI into your daily workflows, right? It can't live in dashboards and reports. It has to surface insights in real time in the workflow at the point of decision making. So those are some of the key areas. And then finally, many hospitals run successful AI pilots in one OR or one service line, but then they struggle to expand it enterprise-wide. So we need to think about scalability right from day one, getting that leadership alignment, robust infrastructure, and vendor partnerships is going to be crucial as hospitals try to scale AI across their entire enterprise.
We talked about scaling it once people start, but where should hospitals who want to get into using AI begin?
They should begin where the pain is most acute and the data is most accessible, right? Which is the biggest problem which we can try to solve and where data is available. So we don't need to launch a massive AI transformation on day one. Start with one or two high impact use cases, like reducing surgical delays, improving productivity and quality, or optimizing your OR scheduling. These are areas where even modest improvements can deliver real ROI very quickly. Second, choose AI tools that integrate into your existing workflows, as I mentioned above. Not something which completely changes how staff needs to work. These tools should be part of the workflow, need to surface the right the right time. And then get that those buy-ins, you know, from your SPD teams, from perioperative nurses, schedulers, whoever is going to use that technology daily. I think their feedback is crucial. And when they feel like partners in this process, the adoption skyrockets.
How about leaders who are looking to modernize SPD or OR workflows with AI? How would they begin?
I would say don't think of AI as a one-off project. Think of it as a strategic operating layer that can continuously evolve with your health system. So what I mean by that is, you know, even in if you look at well-established hospitals, there are still inefficiencies. AI can address those, but in order to really drive those real transformation, it must be deeply integrated into your people, processes, and platforms and technology. So it's more strategic than just one-off projects. Second, you know, just move beyond isolated pilots, right? Think about scalability, design with scale in mind, right? How do you take it from one specific use case, which you may want to start with, but then always think about how do you embed it across all of your service lines? And change management is big. You know, I keep coming to that, right? You can have the most advanced AI, but if the frontline teams don't really trust or understand it, then the adoption will stall. So just bringing them much more involved earlier in the process, investing in training, communication, showing the wins is going to be crucial. And finally, this needs complete, you know, leadership alignment, right? Whatever are your goals, whether it's maximizing case volumes, minimizing SPD costs, or improving your compliance and joint commission readiness, whichever goals are most important to you, just make sure that, you know, you focus on what are those important goals and how is your leadership aligned in this journey, right? Getting that top-down leadership buy-in is also going to be critical.
Technology is moving so quickly. I mean, it's changing by the second. As soon as we get some type of technology, it's already outdated. What are you most excited about or to see over the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, true. There's a lot to be excited about. But I think three innovations really stand out to me over the next 2 to 3 years. First, agentic AI. You know, we are moving moving beyond AI that just analyzes data or does predictions into AI that takes action. Things like rescheduling cases, you know, flagging instrument issues in real time, or real time location scanning, automatically ensuring trays match your latest IFUs and compliance requirements. That's going to fundamentally change how hospitals manage complexity, especially in perioperative workflows. So agentic AI is the first one. The second is this rise of AI-powered co-pilots for frontline staff. Think of this like your own personal AI assistant, which can help you step-by-step in all of your workflows, right? Helping to identify instruments, what to do when something fails, flag compliance issues, right? So it augments your work and gives you step-by-step instructions to just execute your jobs in a better way. And the third is, you know, integration of surgical video and AI, right? The computer vision models I talked about. We are starting to see computer vision models break down surgery into discrete steps. And it can actually measure instrument usage. It can even benchmark surgical techniques. So it just opens the door for more precise training, outcome predictions, and case planning. And by the way, these are not like 10-year dreams. We are already seeing these get converted to realities. In the next 2-3 years, all of these should become, use cases which many of the hospitals would be implementing.
If we could sort of recap here, Harshal, and talk about the top 2 or 3 things that you think are most important that we talked about for hospitals and hospital administrators.
Yeah, sure. I think if I have to kind of recap 2 or 3 things, I think the first one will be bold and take that leap. You know, start off with 1 or 2 high impact use cases, experiment. You know, that can give a lot of data. And, if things do not work as expected, you can easily pivot, right? That's number one. Number two is change management, as I talked about. It's probably one of the most crucial aspects of implementing AI. So get your frontline teams much more involved earlier in the process, invest in training, and have those internal champions who can share the excitement with the rest of the organization. And third, as I mentioned earlier, it should be aligned to your institutional goals, right? Whether it's maximizing case volumes or improving compliance or driving productivity and quality. When AI is linked to what matters most to leadership, it becomes an operational imperative. So those will be the three big areas. And at Sensis, we are here to help you and support you in your journey. That's what I would say in terms of, what are the top 2 or 3 things which are the key takeaways from this entire session.
And where can people who are listening and watching find you if they want to sort of follow along with your journey and the journey of Sensis?
Well, so, you know, LinkedIn is the best source. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. So, you know, we can just ping me on LinkedIn. We can have a chat, just exchange ideas about how technology is moving, how AI is moving, and how we can, you know, help in supporting your own individual goals and your operations and processes. And then we do partner in different events like HSPA. We are going to have another event, the CTUC event, which we normally do in the fall. So those are different avenues. But yeah, I mean, happy to have any conversations. Just feel free to reach out on LinkedIn, and would be great to exchange ideas.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for your time, Harshal, today. We do appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here, and looking forward to connecting with you in the future. Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to the Consensus Podcast. You can find us on Apple and Spotify. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and go to census.com for more information. We'll talk to you next time.